Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
I'm so excited for today, like you wouldn't believe, because we as a church family get to be a part of this amazing generosity campaign that we are calling Be Rich. My name is Daniel Indrajaya. If this is your first time coming to our church, let me extend my personal welcome to you. I don't want to take for granted that you're here spending your Sunday morning with us. I think that's awesome. Whether you're a Christian or not, it doesn't matter. Our slogan around here is no perfect people allowed. We believe there's nobody perfect. We're not perfect. You're not perfect. And we believe that we're here every Sunday, not because we think we're better than the rest of the world, but because we believe that we are in need of God's grace and God's forgiveness, which God has made available to us through the person of Jesus Christ, through his death on the cross 2,000 years ago. So you are at a good place here this morning, and you couldn't have picked a better Sunday to come, because this is the Sunday where you get to witness firsthand the generosity of the people who call themselves Christians in this faith community that we call The Rocks. I want to extend my welcome also to our YouTube friends and podcast listeners joining from all over the world. As Sid has already mentioned, we are just one of the many churches around the globe that take part in this global generosity campaign that we call Be Rich. We are actually part of 85 churches around the world, not only in America, but in South Africa, in Canada, in Mexico, and we are the first site in Australia, and over 300 not-for-profit organizations are going to benefit from your generosity all around the world. And we are just part of more than 155,000 people unleashing this tsunami of generosity as we give, as we serve, and as we love the community where we live. For those of you who missed our opening last week, let me explain to you why we call it Be Rich. For those of you who don't like church, maybe you think, oh, here we go again. You know, that's why I don't like big churches, because they always talk about money, they always talk about being rich and all that. But we actually take this phrase from a letter written by the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, who used to hate Christians, and he met with the resurrected Jesus, and he became one of his apostles, and he traveled all around the Mediterranean world to preach the gospel. And one of his proteges, his name is Timothy, who was pastoring a church in Ephesus, in the modern-day Turkey right now. And Paul was just advising Timothy what to do, because he was a little bit inexperienced, and Paul was telling Timothy, this is how you should be a leader, and so on. And Paul said in one of his letters, two of them were actually preserved in our New Testament Bible, Paul wrote to Timothy, telling Timothy what he should tell the rich people in his congregation. And this is what Paul writes. Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 to 18, command those who are rich in this present world to do good, to be rich, that's our phrase, to be rich in good deeds, to be generous and willing to share. I said last week that a lot of places will tell you how to get rich. A lot of churches even will tell you how to get more and more blessings. And here Paul says, you are already rich. But what you need to do is to learn how to be rich. Be rich in what? Be rich in good deeds. Learn to be generous and learn to be willing to share. You know, to which we say, oh yeah, this command is given to those who are rich, and that's not us. I'm not rich. I don't feel rich. Well, regardless of how you feel, according to the statistics, if you earn $45,000 a year, you are in the top 1% of the richest people on the planet. You're in the top 1%. I'm imagining even if you earn half of it, $22,000 a year, you'll be in the top 10-20% of the wealthiest people on the planet. So we are rich for most of us. The reason why, let me tell you, the reason why you don't feel rich is because you don't have margin for many of us financially. We spend our money as fast as we earn it. That's why there's no margin in our financial world. And guess what? When there is no margin, there is no peace in your heart, no matter how much money you earn. So what Paul is saying is this: a lot of rich people, they're not good at being rich. They're not good at using the resources that God has entrusted to them. As a follower of Christ, we believe everything that we have is entrusted to us by God. But regardless whether you believe in God or not, this is the problem that a lot of rich people have, right? We just spend our money. We have this habit of upgrading. You know, we just don't know how to give. We don't know how to be generous. This is like a fact all around the world. The more money that you make, the less that you actually give, which is very sad to me, right? The more money you make, the less that you give, percentage-wise. Maybe dollar-wise, you give more. Sometimes dollar-wise, you don't even give more. A lot of rich people, they don't even give at all. But the more money you make everywhere around the world, the less money that you give. And you know what? You want to know another sad fact? Not only the more money you make, the less money you give, but also the less you serve. Why? Because you have options, right? You have movies to go to. You have a car to upgrade. You have a house to renovate. You have a holiday to go to. You know, you got options. And when you have a lot of options, you don't have time to serve. So the more money you make, the less you give, and the less you serve. That's why Paul is teaching all of us right now, Christians who live in the 21st century, hey, command those who are rich in this present world. Actually, he doesn't need to say that. You know, you're rich. How else are you rich, right? But Paul is saying here, hey, just because you're rich in this present world, it doesn't necessarily mean that you will be rich in the world to come. As a Christian, we believe this world is not all there is to it. There's eternity waiting for us on the other side. And Paul says, hey, guess what? Your wealth, what you have, your time here on earth, is a limited resource. You only have it for a while. You only have it for a time being. So command those who are rich in this present world to do good, to be rich in good deeds, to be generous and willing to share. And that's the reason why I'm so, so excited and pumped about the Be Rich campaign. Not because of the benefit that we can give to the community around us, but I'm excited about what it's going to do to us as a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm excited about the work that God is going to do in our heart as we learn and practice being generous with our life. That's what I'm excited about. Ever since we started The Rocks 14 years ago, we are here in this building close to 3 years now, but we've been in existence for the last 14 years. From the very beginning, we decided that we're not going to replicate the social institutions that are doing well in our community. We're not going to replicate the social services in our community who are champions in what they do. For example, we decided early on, ever since we started this church, we decided we're not going to start our own soup kitchen. We're not going to start our own after-school program or before-school program. We're not going to start our own op shop. Why? Because we believe, as a body of Christ here, we're not in competition with these people, these organizations. We are here to be partner. I'm not here to compete with Good Sammys. I'm not here to compete with people who are rock stars, you know, in the area, in different areas of services that they do. So I believe our job as a faith community here is not to compete with these guys who are doing a wonderful job, but our job, I believe God placed us here to partner with them, to help them in any way that we can. I don't know if you know this, but for the past few years since we existed as a church, we have been partnering with many different organizations in our community. For example, we are partner with Sunshine FM, the only family radio station here in Perth. We partner with Compassion Australia to release children from poverty. I don't know if you know, but every year Compassion uses our facility. Compassion uses our building to hold a leadership seminar, to help leaders in our city to know how to lead better, to increase awareness of poverty around the world. We are also partner with Prison Fellowship Australia. Do you know that? You know, we give your money that you give every Sunday, we give them to these great organizations. We partner with Prison Fellowship, not only, you know, in helping the inmates, but also the families that they left outside prison. I remember one year as a church family during Christmas, during the month of December, we actually went and visited these houses, these families whose husbands were in prison. And we give them gifts, we spend time with them, we pray with them. It's fantastic, right? And we also partner with Kent Street High School through the Breakfast Club program, Kennington Community College. I don't know if you know, but every Monday morning, right now, our church goes to Kennington Community College to serve hot breakfast for the students there. Chloe and her team is actually doing that faithfully every Monday. I actually want to invite Chloe to come up and explain to us what is Breakfast Club and why is it important and what they actually do. Come on, give her a hand.
Good morning, everyone. Yeah, like Pastor D said, Ignite got a really great opportunity to serve the Year 11 and the Year 12 students in Kennington Community Education Center. And we got this opportunity from the school chaplain. So the school chaplain is Edgar, and Edgar is actually a host on the host team here, and he's a teacher at the Flashpoint. But what is so cool is we get to go and we get to make hot breakfast for these kids who come to school, and they come to school with an empty stomach, and that's like so hard to get any work done when you're hungry. So yeah, we go and we cook a hot meal, but what's so different about this breakfast program is that the way that Edgar has set this sort of environment and this culture where it's more centered around building relationships. So I've been at a couple of breakfast programs, and so what they do is they have this grab and go system. So the kids grab their breakfast and they leave. But what Edgar, the school chaplain, encourages us to do is to actually sit down at a dining table and chat with one another and build the relationship and get to know each other a bit more, hear our challenges, hear what's going on with our lives. And so, yeah, when the Ignite leaders came, it wasn't always like that. When we came, the students were very quiet and reserved. They didn't really want to approach us or have a conversation with us. In fact, the language that they used towards one another was often quite discouraging and negative and quite violent sometimes. But thank God we've seen such a great improvement in the Year 11 and 12 students. It's been really great because I think for us, I say for Ignite leaders and me personally, it's such a blessing to be able to go there and just go and encourage those kids and encourage them and build them up, because our hope is to see them enjoy life and have life in all its fullness. So yeah, it's honestly such a blessing and such a privilege for Ignite leaders to go there and serve and love on those kids. So yeah, that's what we do every Monday.
Thank you, Chloe. Well done. Amazing. So yeah, that's what we do. And this year, we added two more not-for-profit organizations to be our partners. And the first one you already heard from Sid is Mana, the only provider in Perth. They started very small, but they became one of the largest meal providers in Perth now. And they're the only one that provides complete meal service to the homeless. That includes the entree, the main meal, and the dessert. Like I said last week, sometimes what these people need is not just the food, but it's the dignity that they lost because of one reason or another. And the other organization that we're going to support this year is Fusion, who not only put roof over the head of underprivileged teenagers, but they also, like Chloe said, develop relationship with them, build them up so that they can have a bright future that God, you know, has in mind for them. So last week, what we did was this. We asked 100% of you. We don't have a monetary goal or target, but we do have a target in participation. We wanted to have 100% participation. So we asked 100% of you to give $50 per person. Some people can give more. Some people can only give less. It doesn't matter. And then we promised to give 100% of it away. Every single cent. There's no admin fee, no shipping and handling, nothing. Every single cent given away. Even the t-shirt, we use our own money to buy this t-shirt, not from the money that you give. And even though we don't have a monetary goal, you know, I talked to some people and they said, you know, Pastor Daniel, if we can get $10,000, I think it would be awesome. It would make such a great impact for this organization, $10,000. And some people said, nah, I don't know if we can make that. Some people said, no, I think we can make a little bit more. And I was hoping and praying, looking at you and then the number of people that we have, I was hoping and praying to have at least $20,000. And then last week, you proved me wrong. We did not only get $10,000 or $20,000, we actually received in one Sunday, in one, you know, two gatherings, 9 and 11, but in one Sunday in this room, you gave a total of $24,630.15 in one Sunday. Amazing. Wow. You know, I was so touched, and I was so glad that I was and I am a part of this generous community of faith that we call the Rocks right here. So that's the focus last week in this Be Rich campaign. The focus was on giving, and today, this week, as Sid has already mentioned, our focus is on serving. We want to be rich in serving people, serving the community where we live, all right? And like last week, I want 100% participation. In a few minutes, I'm going to tell you how you can do just that. It's very simple, all right? But before we go there, I want to ask this very important question. Why is it important for us to practice being rich? You know, just having resources alone, for me anyway, is not a good enough reason. It's not a compelling enough reason for me to learn to be generous. So I have a lot of money. So what? Why do I need to be generous? Why do I need to practice being rich? I think there's another more important reason why we need to practice being generous. And let me tell you why. And this is at the core of Christianity. This is what Christianity is all about. If you don't know anything about Christianity, this is what Christianity is all about, all right? The reason why we need to practice being rich in good deeds and being generous and willing to share, is at the heart of Christianity. Why is it at the heart of Christianity? Because that is the way of Jesus Christ. That is the way of Jesus Christ. I want to tell you a story, okay? John, the Apostle John, he wrote the Gospel of John. We have four biographies about Jesus Christ: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So this is the John who wrote the Gospel of John. This John used to believe in Jesus, and then he disbelieved in Jesus, and then he didn't know what to believe, and then Jesus rose from the dead, and he believed in Jesus again. And after seeing Jesus rose from the dead, let me tell you, John could not keep his mouth shut. Everywhere he went, he kept talking about this Jesus, what he did, how he rose from the dead, and so on, to the point that the Roman Empire got so sick and tired of John, they actually captured him. And under the rule of Emperor Domitian, they banished him to an island called Patmos. So John, by this time, he was very old. I think he outlived all the other apostles. Many of the other apostles died as martyrs. So John was an old man by the time he spent his last few years in the island of Patmos. And he had a lot of time to think about his relationship with Jesus, why Jesus came, and what Jesus did, and so on. And so he wrote the Gospel of John. And when he wrote the Gospel of John, as I said before, he had a lot of time to think about it. And he wrote something that I believe is extremely, extremely important. And this is the reason why it's important for us to practice being generous. This is the reason why generosity, charity, sharing is at the heart of Christianity. All right? In John chapter 1, verse 14, this is what the Apostle John wrote. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We often read this passage during Christmas, and Christmas is coming soon. By the way, the cards on your seat, you know, not for you, for your friends. Make sure you invite them to come to our Christmas program. Best opportunity to invite people to church. But the Word became flesh. The Word here refers to Jesus. God, this is what John believed. After all this time, you know, he had a lot of time to think about this. He said to himself, you know, Jesus, he was not just my friend. He was not just my teacher. We only knew this after he rose from the dead. I know he did a lot of miracles. His teaching was awesome, but we didn't know who he was. We couldn't figure it out. We were not that smart. But then, you know, everything kind of made sense after he rose from the dead. He was actually God in the flesh to live among his people. So that's what John wrote. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. The question is, why did he do that? Why did this God chose to leave all the comfort and the glory of heaven in order to be with his people? Well, Jesus himself answered this question, and it's recorded to us in multiple gospels. In the Gospel of Mark, this is what Jesus said, the reason why he came to this world. He said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Now, if you grew up in church before, this is not new to you, right? You heard this before, but let me tell you, you got to pay attention. This is important. You know, this is the part where you just take your eyes off your screen and just listen to me, because this is the most important part of the message, all right? This is revolutionary for the time. This is unheard of. The people who heard this for the very first time, they would be absolutely shocked. This is laughable for the people who heard it for the very first time, because guess what? This is not normal for a God. It's not normal for a God. The gods of the Greek, the gods of the Romans, they don't do this. The Greek gods, they don't serve the people. The people serve the gods. Do you know that? The Roman gods is the same, you know. They don't sacrifice for the people. You need to give them sacrifice. These pagan religions, sometimes you need to sacrifice your infants. Sometimes you need to sacrifice your women, your virgins, because they demand. That's what religion is all about. It's a form of control. It's a means to control people. You know, even the Jewish people at the time, you know, they almost have this system of like a caste system, like the Hindu system, almost, even though they actually Judaism. Right? Why? Because it's not normal. It's not normal. And then Jesus said, no. Let me tell you something. This is new to you. Me, the Son of Man, the Son of God, did not come to this world to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. If you're not a Christian here this morning, maybe you're here because somebody invited you, promised you lunch, promised you that you meet someone cute. Let me tell you. This is Christianity, all right? Christianity is not about God demanding something from you. Christianity is not about God wanting you to serve him. No, it's the exact opposite. It's God who came down to serve us, and it's God who came down to give his life for us. That's first and foremost what Christianity is all about. At the very foundation of Christianity is this selfless God who chose to come down to our world, to our earth, in order to serve us and to restore the broken relationship that we had with him because of our sins. So this is what Jesus did. Jesus came to show that God loves everyone. Not just the Jewish people, but everyone. Because everyone has intrinsic value in God. Not just economic value. Not just ascribed value because of the economic worth. That's why, you know, Jesus is very different from any others. His teaching was so radical. You know, Jesus' teaching and action actually elevated the dignity of everybody, giving status to the women, to the poor, to the sick, to the children, to the sinners even. And this is unheard of, all right? This is unheard of. Why? Because Jesus believed every person has intrinsic value, not just economic value. Because at the time, if you were a woman, all right, you had no value in the society. Actually, in some writings, you were considered, I'm sorry to be offensive, but it's true, you were considered less than a cow. That's how bad it is, right? So this is what I said before. You know, even if you don't believe Jesus is the Son of God, if you are a woman, you should follow Jesus just because of what Jesus did for women, elevating their status, you know. Women had no value. Children had no value in those days. You know, you can leave your children if you don't want to take care of them. You can leave them in the forest. There's no punishment for it. You just assume the tigers or the wolf are going to come and eat them. If they survive, they survive. But there's no law for you against leaving your children out in the wilderness. That's how it was. Children had no value. And then Jesus said, let the little children come to me. Don't stop them. See, the disciples said, no value. Stop them. No. Let them come to me. The slaves had no value in those days. The sick people, they were considered unclean. They were not even allowed in the temple, right? Sinners, tax collectors, the teaching of Jesus was amazing. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, your enemies, they're worth to be loved. They're worth loving. He talked about the poor widow. This poor widow, she's very wealthy in the kingdom of God, which is amazing because in those days, if you are poor, there's a reason why you're poor. You're meant to be poor, you see? If you're sick, you're meant to be sick. That's your lot in life. That's your curse. Something must have happened. You must have done some sin, or your parents must have done something, some sin. That's why some of the apostles asked Jesus, whose fault is it that this man be born blind? And Jesus said, neither. You see, in those days, if you're a slave, you're meant to be a slave. If you're a woman, you're meant to be a woman. And that's really, really bad. And then Jesus said, no. Even his action. He says, love your enemies. And then Jesus put it into practice. Let me give you an example. One time, Jesus was passing through Samaria. If you don't know anything about the Samaritans and the Jewish people and their relationship, they were like arch enemies, all right? They didn't want to talk to each other. They killed each other. They're like so bad. It was so bad that when you travel, right, from Jerusalem to Galilee, for example, you will avoid Samaria. You go and take the longest route just to avoid the Samaritans, but not Jesus. He chose to go through Samaria, and then he met this woman who'd been divorced a few times, and then he said to this woman that he had never heard before. He said to the woman, I want you to put your Samaritan bucket into the Samaritan well, and if you allow me, I want to take that bucket and put it on my Jewish lips. Paraphrase from me, all right? But that's what he did. And the woman was just so touched that anyone, for that matter, not just a Jewish man at that, right? Even Samaritan men wouldn't want to talk to her. That's why she drew the water in the mid-noon where it was really, really hot and nobody came. But this Jewish man, Jesus, elevated her status right away. He did the same with the tax collectors, asking Peter and all the other disciples, hey, let's go to Matthew's house. No, we don't want to go to Matthew's house. He's a tax collector. He said, we're going. So they went. And then he did the same again with Zacchaeus. We're going to Zacchaeus' house. See, Jesus, this is why we're not popular. We keep going to these people's houses and people didn't like us, Jesus, already. And they don't like us now because we're spending too much time with these sinners. But he said, no, I'm teaching you something new. You see? Here's the deal. No strings attached compassion and generosity was the hallmark of the first century church. It was the hallmark of the first century church. You know how Christianity spread around the world? You think Christianity spread around the world because of the teaching of Jesus, which is fantastic. The teaching on grace, that God deals with us, not on the basis of our good works, but on the basis of his grace and forgiveness alone. That's unheard of. But let me tell you, the reason why Christianity spread all around the world is not because of the teaching of Jesus. It's not even because of the resurrection of Jesus. You know what? The reason why Christianity spreads like a wildfire around the world? It is because of the generosity and the compassion of the first century Christians. There was an article written by CNN, written by this person called Candida Moss, 23rd June 2014, how an apocalyptic plague helped spread Christianity. In the background there, it's actually remains of victims of the plague of Cyprian, which was quite famous, happening on 250 to 280 AD. And this is what happened, okay, if you don't know. At its height, the epidemic is estimated to have killed 5,000 people a day in the city of Rome alone. And then it spread to Africa, it spread to Egypt, it spread everywhere. Among them were two Roman emperors, Hostilian and Claudius Gothicus. Cyprian, the mid-third century bishop of Carthage, in his essay, De Mortalitate, or On Mortality, he wrote this. This is describing the plague. The intestines are shaken with a continual vomiting. The eyes are on fire with the infected blood. 5,000 people in the city of Rome alone died each day. A lot of people fled the city, but not the Christians. They could have fled, but they did not. Dionysius, Bishop of Alexandria, wrote that it was a period of unimaginable joy for Christians. Can you believe that? The high probability that they themselves might die made Christians more willing to embrace martyrdom, and that provided early publicity that Christianity is worth dying for. And then in a different article, it's actually a book called The Rise of Christianity by Rodney Stark. He wrote this: thus, at a time when all other faiths were called to question, Christianity offered explanation and comfort. And more importantly, not just the explanation and the comfort that there is hope in God, there's life after this life, but even more importantly, Christian doctrine provided a prescription for action. Why? Because Jesus modeled it for them. They heard it from the apostles. This is what Jesus did. Jesus loved the enemies without expecting anything in return. Doing something when people can take advantage of. It doesn't matter. That's what they did. And then he continued. Dionysius described how Christian community heroically transformed into a battalion of nurses. Ignoring danger, they took charge of the sick, attending to their every need and ministering to them in Christ. And with them departed this life serenely happy. So they died. A lot of the Christians died together with the people, for they were infected by others with the disease and cheerfully accepting their pains. Right? And then this is something else. The last emperor in Rome, his name is Flavius Julianus. All right? His nickname is Julianus the Apostate. And he wrote this, written by these two authors in the book, The Charity of the Church. The last emperor of Rome, okay, Julianus the Apostate, he wanted to resurrect paganism. He wanted to resurrect paganism as the main religion in Rome. I don't know how you do that. Maybe making bumper sticker, paganism rules, you know, something like that. But he wanted to resurrect paganism in the Roman Empire, but he kept failing and failing and failing again. And finally he wrote, this is the reason why he could not. And he's the last pagan emperor, by the way. After that, Christianity became the religion of the empire, right? This is the last one. So he wrote this. These Galileans, referring to the Christians, this is funny. These Galileans not only feed their own poor, but ours also. They fed the Romans as well. They attract them. As children are attracted with cakes. Whilst the pagan priests neglect the poor, then he tried to resurrect paganism. Of course, it didn't work because the pagan priests neglect the sick and the poor. The hated Galileans devote themselves to works of charity, and by a display of false compassion, he thought they were pretending, and by a false display of false compassion, have established and given effect to their pernicious errors. So let me tell you, that's the reason why Christianity spread all around the globe. And right now, in the 21st century, if God can say anything to us as a church family, this is what God would have said, all right? And this is unfortunately not happening in a lot of the churches. The church should be known not for its building capacity. And that's what we do. When we pastors get together, we always talk about how big our congregation is, how big our building is, and so on. But if God can say something to us as a church family, he would say, the church should not be known for its building capacity, but it should be known instead for its giving, serving, and loving capacity. That's the reason why Christianity spread in the first century. You know why? Because everybody matters to God. Even if God does not matter to them. God cares indiscriminately. He loves sinners as well as saints. He loves women as well as men. He loves children as well as adults. You know, God's love is indiscriminate. Everybody matters to God, even if God doesn't really matter to them. So in a minute, I'm going to show you how we can take part and continue this tradition of being generous, serving others. But before that, I want to show you this very short video clip, and then I'll explain what we can do next.
Our community is a great place to call home, and our nonprofit partners are a big part of that. The work they do makes a difference, and we get to come alongside them and make an even bigger difference together. Our goal during Be Rich is for each one of us to serve with one nonprofit partner. And we've made this as simple as we know how. Just go to berich.org to register for a service project with one of our nonprofit partners. Or you can serve with another nonprofit in our community. If you do, don't forget to log your hours at berich.org so we can celebrate your participation too. If each one of us at all our participating churches serves just 1 hour, we'll flood our communities, our nonprofit partners, and those they help with over 100,000 hours. That's like you working full-time for almost 50 years. By everyone doing a little, we can do a lot. But it's more than hours and days and years. Your involvement will show our partners and those they serve how valuable we think they are. This is our opportunity to give, to serve, to love, to be rich.
All right, here's what I want you to do, okay? Like I said before, I want 100% participation, and to participate is very simple, okay? Number one, you need to know that our volunteering will start from the 1st of December until the 31st of January. So for a period of 2 months, we're going to help our partners by volunteering for them. All right, so that's from the 1st of December and the 31st of January. If after that you want to continue, so be it, up to you, all right? You can serve as much or as little as you want. Maybe you say, I can only serve 1 hour one weekend. That's fine, all right? Maybe you can serve longer hours. It doesn't matter. You can serve as much or as little as you can. Now, you need to start planning right now. During the month of November, we have a few weeks left. Plan how you want to serve. You can serve by yourself, or you can serve with your small group, or maybe even friends outside church. You can bring them along and say, hey, will you join me in volunteering for this awesome organization? So you can do that. So plan in November and go to this website called www.berich.org. All right? Or if you don't want to remember that, there's another way. You can go to therocks.info and there's a link at the very top that says Be Rich. You can click there and we will take you to this website called berich.org. And then you will be guided what to do. Some ministry opportunities or some serving opportunities require you to have working with children check and police clearance. But don't worry, the organization will help you to organize all that. And then after you signed up, you will receive confirmation from Be Rich, okay? Make sure you check your junk mail, because I was told that a lot of the mail actually got into people's junk mail and they're trying to resolve that. But make sure after you signed up, you will receive a confirmation, and just check your junk mail. Make sure the junk mail, you know, is not in the junk mail. And when you go to berich.org or when you go to therocks.info, you will be led to this page, okay? Here's what's important. So this is berich.org. What's really important is this part here on the top right-hand corner. You are viewing information specific to, and you can, there's a drop-down menu. You have to choose the Rocks Church as an option. Because if you don't, you might be serving in Canada or South Africa or somewhere, okay? So make sure you choose the Rocks Church. And then if you click join us, or if you scroll down, you will have this option: give, serve, love. We are on the second week, so the option is serve. Give is already done. That was last week. So no more opportunity to give. Next year, yes, you can participate. But click on serve, and then you will be in this page. Okay? Now, there are two options. One is register now, and the other one is log your hours. What's the difference? If you choose to volunteer in other not-for-profits other than Fusion and Mana, you can do it as well. Maybe you want to serve at the Red Cross. Maybe you want to serve at Good Sammy. It doesn't matter. You can serve in those organizations as well. What we want you to do is just to log your hours by clicking this. Log your hours. Why is that important? Because we want to celebrate your volunteering together with us as a church family. I want to praise God with the number of hours that we actually serve and contribute to our community. So if you are serving other organizations other than Mana or Fusion, click this one. Otherwise, click register now, and then you arrive at this page. Okay? So it's the Rocks Church. You can choose what day of the week you want to serve. Who are the beneficiary? Only two for this year, Mana and Fusion. And what time during the day? So these are the dates where the serving opportunities are available. These are the different projects, handyman job, relief staffing, and so on. And this is the beneficiary and how many spots are available. All right? It's very important that you do this procedure so that it makes it easier for our partners, and it makes it easier for us as well. So let me explain some of the serving opportunities that you have. Kitchen volunteers for Mana. That's to prepare and cook food with the team at Mana during the first half of the day. And in the second half of the day, you'll be delivering the meals to a park in the city where people in need can come and enjoy the delicious food that you and the team have already prepared. All right? For Fusion, you can be a relief staff. That means you hang out with the teenagers in Fusion's housing with your friends, family, or small group. You can bring your own food, snacks, games if you like. The goal is to supervise the teenagers in the house and make sure everything in the home is running smoothly. The teenagers might also want to hang out with you or join your small group discussion if you come with your small group. Or another opportunity is to help with the annual Christmas party. The Christmas party is for all the staff, volunteers, and helpers that make everything run smoothly at Fusion. They are looking for kitchen volunteers, setup team, and also musos and singers as well. If you are handy, Fusion are looking for handy people who can build and repair things that are broken in their houses. You can do that as well. Or if you're daring, Fusion is looking for brave people to teach driving as well. So that's another option. Okay? Fantastic. I'll tell you, don't miss this opportunity. It's so great. It's so important for us, not just for the benefit of the people that we serve, but as I said before, God is going to do something tremendous in your heart as you do this. All right? I want to read you one final story before we go. I have about 3 minutes left. But this is a very inspiring story, also happening through the Ministry of Fusion. It's a story about Jay. That's not his real name, but it's a story about Jay. Jay was referred to Fusion by a social worker at Kent Street Senior High School after he found himself homeless on his 15th birthday. Jay had run away from the home of his uncle because his dad had turned up out of the blue looking for him. Jay didn't remember his dad too well because he hadn't seen him since he walked out of the family 10 years ago. Jay remembered his dad as a very angry and a very volatile person, and he remembered that even as a young child, it was a relief for him that his dad was gone. When his dad turned up that day, he was very heavily intoxicated, and he told Jay he was going to move Jay to live with him whether Jay wanted him or not. So even though he had nowhere to go, Jay ran away from him. He couldn't go to his mom for support because his mom had struggled with schizophrenia for as long as he remembered. His entire life with her had been marked by poverty and fear because he never knew what she would do or say, and he never knew which new friends that she would bring from home from day to day. Jay's school social worker saw him wear the same dirty uniform to school. Jay was turning up to school hungry. He had nothing to eat that day, and eventually he confided to his counselor that he was homeless, sometimes sleeping rough, sometimes couch surfing with his friends. So the counselor referred Jay to Fusion, where they saw his need. So Fusion moved him into one of their housing within 2 days. After sleeping rough for so long and never knowing a safe home, Jay took quite a lot of time to relax And then finally, trust Vision staff and volunteers over there. Through Vision Independent Living Skills Program and day-to-day contact with the counselors, Jay learned many skills. Vision helped him develop skills in communication, conflict resolution, cooking, nutrition, even personal hygiene. And after 1 year with Vision, Jay made a decision to give his heart to God. And as soon as he tasted the love of God, he began sharing it with all his friends. He was baptized at the Kent Street Weir. Two of his mates were also baptized together with him on that day. He completed his education at Seven Oaks. And guess what? He is now starting a journalism degree at Curtin University in 2019. But the most amazing fruit to come out of Fusion connection with Jay is possibly the gift of learning to forgive. At the beginning of 2017, Jay's father again tracked him down, but this time it was to tell Jay that he had been diagnosed with cancer and probably had only months to live. So Jay was able to forgive his father. Not only that, but Jay became his father's primary carer through many months of treatment, remission, retreatment, until his dad finally passed away in early 2018. And the most amazing thing is this, just days before he passed, Jay was able to lead his own father to Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? That's what volunteering can do. You don't know how many lives you're gonna touch, how many generations you're gonna touch because of your simple act of compassion and generosity. Let us be rich together.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.